You know, as I was preparing for this message, I thought I'd love to tell a joke about what is going on in heaven right now. So I looked for jokes, and I couldn't find many appropriate jokes to tell about what is going on in heaven. Most of those jokes have horrible theology. Many of them are about earning your way into heaven, or about clocks that go around once every time someone sins, or about lawyers that never make it into heaven, or lines like, if it weren't for all your darn health food, we could have been here years ago. Or jokes that tell about different denominations being assigned different numbered rooms in heaven, and they're all told to tiptoe by room number 17, because that's where the Baptists are, and they think they're the only ones here. So. But preparing for this, I wonder, okay, all these jokes, wonderful jokes about heaven, inappropriate jokes, bad theology, what really is going on in heaven? Well, there's one rock-solid fact of what's going on in heaven. Here it is. At least one, maybe more. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Isn't that good news? There's a God. There is a heaven. Jesus is in heaven, seated next to God, and He is praying for you and for me. That's good news, isn't it? We need prayer. Don't we need prayer? So good to know that the perfect Son of God is praying for us right now. Sometimes I hear about major transitions in life, a birth or a death, or things like Girl Scouts being hit on roads down south and being killed picking up trash, which happened last week. I see things like that in another shooting that happened, this time in California. And I see these things and I think, I do not know how God handles all those things. I don't know how He looks at seeing Jesus pour over the pier, over the portals of heaven, looking at all that goes on the earth. I don't know how He handles it. I know that you and I see things that go on the earth in part, don't we? I mean, we see only through news and selective news what happens here and there on the earth. And it's alarming. Think about how Jesus feels looking at the entire scope of the planet. And He sees when a baby's born. And He sees when there is a newlywed couple who dies in a helicopter crash hours after their wedding. Or Jesus sees floods in Italy and earthquakes in Chile. Or He sees the shooting in California and the fires consuming acres and houses down there. Or He sees somebody who's in severe financial trouble. At the same time, He knows somebody else who has plenty of nest egg, retirement nest egg, and lots to bank on. He might see when a young couple falls in love, in that process of falling in love and deciding to get married. At the same time, He sees an older couple standing by one another's hospital bedside saying their last goodbyes. Or Jesus peers on the earth and sees a family that's divided because of divorce or abuse, and He sees another family that's laughing around the dinner table. Now just multiply that by billions around the world, and you have to ask the question, how in the world does Jesus handle looking at all these things and knowing all the things going on in the earth? Well, I think He handles it, and He handles it well because Jesus loves us. And that's one thing that love does, is handles things that happen. Love does that. You can handle a lot when you love someone. And here's a few ways that I think Jesus handles stuff that goes on earth. The first thing is that Jesus covers our sin. Jesus covers our sin. We observed communion last week. It's a reminder of the death of Jesus. That's enough to cover your sin and my sin and the sins of the world. Hallelujah, our sins are paid for. So when Jesus is peering over the handrail of heaven, looking at all that goes on, going on in the earth, He is praying for us, and He knows that He's already done everything He possibly could for us in His death for us. Now, a lot of times when there's a natural disaster or a man-made disaster, people ask this question, why didn't God do something? Why didn't God make something happen or change something or do something? And He's actually done the very most important thing, which is to die for our sins. Because that alone brings both the shooter and those shot at the possibility of forgiveness and going to heaven. I mean, there is an eternal sense about these things. And Jesus eternally, with an eternal mindset, Jesus knows that He has done the absolute best thing He could have done, which is to die for our sins, to make it possible for you and I to know God. And you and I to go to heaven when we die, because there's that eternity that we're all concerned about. So Jesus already did that, and in doing so, He brought us close to God, which is our ultimate goodness, is it not? That's our ultimate forgiveness, our ultimate happiness, our ultimate hope is knowing God and being close to Him. So what Jesus did on the cross is the absolute best thing He could have done in light of what's going on the earth. Peter wrote about this, something similar to this. Jesus covers our sin. He said, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did for us? He covered over a multitude of our sins. He not only covered them once on the cross, He continues to cover your sins and my sins. He doesn't draw attention to them. He knows that they've been forgiven and forgotten. So what Jesus doesn't do is take a bullhorn from heaven and shout over that so-and-so is caught in pornography again and give us their address. Or Jesus doesn't announce the fact that somebody is trying to divide the church and, you know, out loud. He covers our sins. He prays for us. And that's one way that Jesus can handle everything He sees going on the earth. He's covered our sins by His death on the cross. The most important thing. Another way that Jesus handles this is He believes in God's Word. Jesus believes in God's Word. We talked about this a little bit last week when we talked about Jesus not only spoke God's Word, He affirmed God's Word in the Old Testament, and He set up God's Word in the New Testament. So Jesus completely believes in God's Word. He spoke it, He's aware of it, and He believes what God has said, and He's spoken it Himself. He knows that your crisis today is not the end of the story. What you are going through today is not the end. He's keenly aware of what Paul wrote in Romans, because I think he helped inspire this, and he lived it. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. Jesus not only inspired that, He lived that out. And He saw the things, the bad things that happened to Him, turn out for good because He loved God. So Jesus does not lose faith in God's Word. Jesus is not tempted to give that up. He's not tempted to chuck it all away and scuttle His faith. And Jesus is not up in heaven saying, oh, look at what's going on the earth. Father, I can't take it anymore. I just don't believe. That's terrible. Jesus is not saying that. He's not doing that. Even right now at the right hand of God, He believes what God has written is one reason why He's probably still praying for us. Jesus believes that even as He looks at all the chaos and the pain and the joy that's going on the earth, He knows what God has said, and He knows how it's going to turn out. He knows the ending. And so He believed when He was on earth. He believed in God even when He knew Peter would deny Him. Jesus believed in God and His Word even when He knew that most of the disciples would run away from Him, because He knew the Old Testament verse, you strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. He was aware of that. It did not throw His faith. It did not throw His faith when He knew one of His own would betray Him. He continued to believe in God. He continued to walk forward in obedience to God because He knew what God had said and He knew what God had planned. And He believed in God's Word. Just like He believes now in what God has said and God's plan, even as He knows some of you will be betrayed and some will scatter and some bad things, some misfortune will happen. Jesus always believed and still believes in what God has said. Number three, Jesus looks positively forward. And that's another reason He can put up with all the stuff going on the earth right now, is He knows what's going on in the end. He's read the ending. He knows what's going on at the end of the age. And I'm convinced He's ultimately positive because He's read the end of the story. He knows the end of the story. Now, when the disciples asked Jesus about the end of the story, what's going to happen toward the end, He did not paint the most positive picture. Let's take a look from Luke. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilences in various places, fearful events, great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and put you in prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. So And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand about how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed, even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm and you will win life. Wow. Jesus didn't sugarcoat it, did he? In terms of what was coming on the earth. He saw ahead of time, and he told the disciples about it ahead of time. This is some of the pain and misery coming on the earth, on the whole globe. But he also saw this. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Jesus also saw that in light of the things coming on the earth. He knows the end of the story. That's why he can pray, peer over the portals of heaven and pray for you and I to get us through to that time when we join him in heaven. He knows the end of the story. He has a positive forward look. That's hope. He knows who wins in the end. Another reason he can peer over the heaven and stay there and pray for us is he's, number four, is in it for the long haul. Jesus is in it for the long haul. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what's coming on the earth. We just read that. And he knows who wins, and he's prepared to stick it out no matter what. Jesus doesn't take any days off. Did you know that? Jesus doesn't take time off. He doesn't go on vacation. He doesn't leave because he's burned out. Jesus doesn't throw up his hands and say, "That's it, I can't take it anymore." Jesus doesn't take shortcuts. He doesn't take an early retirement. He's going to stick it out to the end and pray for you and I all the way to the end. Why does he do that? Because he loves us. He loves us and he's with us till the very end. He's not going to quit. So Jesus covers our sin. He believes, continues to believe in God's word. He looks forward to a positive outcome at the end, and he's in it for the long haul. That is how I believe Jesus handles everything that he sees going on the earth right now. He's there, and he believes, and he continues to endure for our sakes. All the chaos, everything he sees on the earth, he hangs in there. That's how he can handle it. Now, some of you may be wondering if I've left the series on love, but I haven't. We're in a series on love called The Greatest of These, and I believe that Jesus perfectly illustrates the verse we're looking at today. And that is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. In other words, Jesus covers our sin, continues to believe God's word, has a positive forward look, and will not, does not, what was the last one I had there? Yeah, in it for the long haul. He endures all things. Jesus perfectly illustrates this verse today in what he is doing right now for us. Let's look at these things. He bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Let's look at that because I believe this is the pattern for us that Jesus is living out even right now, has lived out, and wants us to live out as well. The first one, he bears all things. Now this word here is a little more difficult to translate than the other words because it's a little more rare in terms of believing, hoping, and enduring. Those are relatively common words. This idea of bearing all things is translated in different ways like covering or protecting all things. And it helped me to understand what Paul was getting at when I found out that he used the exact same word, bears all things, a few chapters earlier in 1 Corinthians. And it's in chapter 9. Verse 12, I believe. Here's what he says. Let me give you the context for this. There have been people who called themselves apostles who had criticized the apostle Paul and said, he's not really an apostle. I mean, Paul does this and that. And look, we are the real apostles and we do this, this, and this. And one of the things that Paul did was he didn't demand that they give him money for the things he did. And so they said, well, Paul's not a real apostle. He's replying to that criticism that others made of him to the Corinthians. And in part, this is what he wrote. If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Great phrase, right? We put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. That phrase, we put up with anything, is the exact same word as bear all things in chapter 13. To bear all things. In other words, Paul says, those of us who love one another will put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. That's what it is to bear all things, to cover one another's sins, to put up with the kind of things that's going on in your life. So the person who loves somebody else will put up with things, anything, everything, in terms of what goes on in those lives. You might, another way of saying this might be love endures or love lasts. Love continues to do that, and it's just a synonym of what he says with enduring all things. So Jesus bore our sins. He puts up with our sins and what we have done, and he's saying, I want you to do the same for other people. Love puts up with anything. We should also believe all things. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Love puts up with anything, including immature believers in our midst, including kids that have gone sideways, including people who sin against us, including the hardships that may be caused by another, the things that we go through. You put up with these things in love. That's what love does. Love bears all things. Secondly, believes all things. Love does that. Now, this idea that believes all things does not mean that you believe anything and everything. You're just a believer. That's not what he says, because just last week we looked at the verse, love rejoices with the truth, right? So truth must guide. Truth guides our love. But what it means is to follow the example of Jesus and to not give up your belief. Just like Jesus, in the midst of the hardships he went through, in the midst of the hardships he sees on earth, he does not give up believing in what God has said about the beginning and the end and his sovereignty over all. He continues to believe in God and trust God, and that the idea is that we should do the same. We continue to believe in God and trust Him, even when you can't see the way forward, even when there's difficulty, even when there's chaos on the earth, even when there's shootings and fires and things like that. You continue to believe in God and His sovereignty and what He has said. Because right now in heaven, Jesus is not panicking as He sees things going on the earth. Love does not lose faith in God. Love does not lose faith when the going gets tough. Love doesn't throw your faith or your relationship with God away when things look bleak. You may have marriage issues. Your kids may be in trouble. Your finances may be really threatening. A major illness may loom for you, but love keeps believing in the things that God has said. Love believes this phrase, this verse from Psalm 30. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Love believes these things. Now, if you've ever watched television, anybody figure skating fans in here? Anybody like figure skating? If you've ever watched figure skating, you've probably seen this guy right here, Scott Hamilton. Is that familiar? Scott Hamilton comments on figure skating because he won a gold medal in the 1984 Olympics. He's married to his wife, Tracy. They have four kids. Two are adopted from Haiti. And he's a firm believer in Jesus. Scott Hamilton was interviewed by the New York Times just this year, and he had an interesting take on keeping on believing. Here's what he said in his interview. I calculated once how many times I fell in my skating career. All the times he practiced, all the times he did skating and everything else. 41,600 times he fell. He said, here's the funny thing. I got up 41,600 times. That's the muscle you have to build into your psyche, the one that reminds you to just get up. What a picture, isn't it? I think that's a great picture for us as disciples of Jesus, of the necessity to keep on believing, to keep on getting up. When life knocks you down and when things happen, you keep getting up. You don't stay down. You get up and you keep believing in Jesus no matter what else is happening. Love believes all things. Love will also hope all things. Love does not let hope slip through its fingers like sand at the beach on a hot day. Hope stays. Love holds on because you have a positive forward look, just like Jesus has a positive forward look because he knows who wins in the end. Now, many of you know my father-in-law, Dewey Hansen. And he loves Gonzaga basketball. And in fact, Dewey watches every game, but he doesn't watch them live. Very rarely will watch a live game. He records every game. And then when he hears the score of the game, then he goes back and watches it at his leisure. And his blood pressure is low and fine, and his heart rate is not elevated. It is just calm and contented. Why? He knows already the outcome of the game. And he can watch it in perfect peace and harmony without any yelling or screaming. And he does this. He can have that peaceful countenance because he knows who wins in the end. And that is something that you and I need to do as we look at the chaos on the earth and as we go through life when things are, you know, it's happening and look like we're losing or this is going on. We know who wins in the end, so we can take a deep breath, have a calm heartbeat, and our blood pressure doesn't have to get too high because we know who wins in the end. Love has a positive forward look. That's called hope, a positive forward look. And hope is what, like one of the favorite jokes of President Ronald Reagan, and some of you know this joke, and he talks about a boy that was in a large, wealthy family, and one Christmas they decided to play a joke on him, and they told him his Christmas present was in a room down the hall, and he went down the hall, and he opened the door, and they followed him down there, and they saw that the room was full of horse manure. And they expected him to, you know, just freak out about that. And he started laughing and he jumped into the pile and started pawing through all the horse apples. And they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "With all this manure, there's bound to be a pony in here somewhere." That's a positive forward look right there. That's hope. That's what we're talking about. Love hopes all things. Love will also endure all things. And when we endure all things, we're following Jesus because He endured all things for us, did He not? Jesus suffered for us. Here's what Hebrews 12 has to say. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus went through that with the joy set before Him, was knowing that you and I would know Him and be with Him forever in heaven. That was the joy set before Him, and He endured what He had to go through on the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be with Him. Amazing. He endured these things, and that's the example for us. We need to endure all things other as well. When Jesus not only suffered on the cross for us, He suffered with us as we go through things as well. Jesus is not some indifferent prayer person. It's not a flippant prayer up in heaven going, "Oh, yeah, I know it's going to work. No, don't worry about that." He can suffer with us as we go through things as well. And I think there's no better example of that than the time that Jesus' good friend Lazarus died, and He went to be with the sisters whose brother had just died. And He wept with the sisters. He wept with them. That one of the shortest and greatest verses in the Bible, Jesus wept. He was feeling their pain. He was suffering with them. He was commiserating with them. He was grieved at the thing that death does to one another, to us, to separate us from loved ones for a time being. Jesus felt all that, even though He knew He was going to raise Lazarus. You believe that? Jesus didn't laugh when He got into the grave and said, "Nah, don't worry, I'm going to take care of this. Stop your crying." He wept with them. And I think Jesus does that for us as well when we go through things on the earth. He weeps with us. He feels the things that we feel, even though He knows we will be raised with Him at the end. Isn't that good news? We have one who feels what we feel. He entered into our suffering. So as Jesus endured all things and entered into the suffering of others and still does so today, so we, when we love other people, will endure all things and enter into the things that they're going through. We will weep with them and we will suffer with them. We can weep with others as they grieve. We can put up with their sickness or their immaturity or the sin that they're going on. We can endure those things. We can last through those things because Jesus did that for us as well. Jesus endures all things. I mean, how many times have we been put off by the antics of our kids or our grandkids and we see them going sideways, or the immaturity of another believer, or the stupidity of the driver in front of us on Highway 2? We can endure all things. We can put up with that. Love endures all things. Now, many of you know Debbie Johnson. And Debbie Johnson was diagnosed with ALS last December, and she died this past September. And the day that her ALS diagnosis was confirmed, December 27th, she read in a devotional about bearing your suffering well for the Lord, not wasting your suffering. And she took that to heart. And she believed that God gave that to her for a special time, and she kept that up, did not complain about the suffering she went through with ALS all the way to her death. She encouraged other people, and she believed in God and His Word, and she held on to that, and she trusted her suffering to Him. Debbie endured all things. She loved till the very end. What a great example for us. So if we love our families, if we love our neighbors, if we love fellow drivers and people next to us on the road, or even people next to us in the pew here, we will bear with them. We will cover their sins. We will not lose faith in God and what He says. We will hold on to His Word. We will hope in a positive outcome because God hopes in a positive outcome. He's planned that. And we will endure with, we will suffer with, we will put up with the things that people do because that's what love does. Just like Jesus does for us even now. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. Many of the people around the world that believe in Jesus are going through much worse than we are going through now. Open Doors is a ministry to persecuted Christians around the globe, and they had one of their journalists interview a recent convert, a Muslim convert to Christ, and we'll call him Bagus, not his real name. He came to know Jesus in 2014. He was baptized the following year. And he was asked by this interviewer, the reason he followed Christ. It was because of my long, hard, troubled life, ma'am. And she said, well, when you finally decided to follow Him, your life wasn't troubled anymore? Not anymore, ma'am. Well, what did you do for a living then, before? He said, I was a trash picker. And she said, well, what do you do now? He said, I'm still a trash picker. And if you looked at the external circumstances of the life Bagus lived, you see that his life hadn't improved a whole lot, at least from externally. The journalist asked him, so how do you feel after following Isa or Jesus? He said, oh, I feel very different. I feel happy. I feel restful. Bagus then mentioned quietly that he was a house church leader of 15 former Muslims in his village. And life wasn't all that easy for him as a house church leader with 15 others. Because somebody in the village saw him sharing belief in Jesus with another person, reported him to the authorities. Those authorities dragged he and his 15 friends out to a paddy and threatened to kill them unless they renounced their faith and became Muslims again. And they refused. And because of that, Bagus has to spend most of his life on the street. He's separated for safety's sake from his wife and children. He sees them on occasion, but not all the time. And in spite of all this, he says, I never regretted following my decision to follow Jesus. I'm following Him wholeheartedly. Wow. That's a believer who bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. The love in Bagus will never fail. That's what love does. Love lasts. Love never fails. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the example of people like Bagus. We cannot imagine what they go through. Bless, Lord, those persecuted believers. Bless them, Lord. Help them. Strengthen them. Give them courage and boldness. Lord, thank you for the example of Jesus who did that very same thing for us, bearing, believing, hoping, and enduring everything for our sakes, even doing so now in heaven. Thank you, God. Would you give us, followers of you, grace to do the same to those around us, to love them, to bear with and hope and endure all things, Lord. Give us grace for that so we can look like You. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.